The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Last week, it was about anger, divorce, and adultery. This week, it's about loving enemies. Last week, I got out of preaching. We had a guest preacher. Maybe I should have had our vicar preach today. These are tough texts. I think today we hear some of Jesus' most difficult teachings. Turn the other cheek. Don't retaliate. Love your enemies. Pray for those who attack you. And then to top it off, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That doesn't help at all. Not least because we hear it in one of two ways. As an ideal to achieve, we have to try to get perfect, or more likely, simply as an impossibility, as in nobody's perfect, just do your best, which means that we can totally discount everything that Jesus says here. Just try your best. However, perfect is really not a great translation for the word here. The Greek word is telos, which means end of all things, or goal, or purpose. Better would be complete, or fulfill, or accomplish. This is the same exact word that Jesus uses in Matthew's gospel later when he says on the cross, "It is finished. It is accomplished. It's fulfilled. It's complete. Be complete as your Father in heaven is complete." We're still not off the hook, though. But it might be helpful to learn that the Sermon on the Mount can be heard in two different ways, depending on who's hearing it. Either way, though, Jesus gives us a glimpse of how God intends for us to live with one another. First, neighbor doesn't mean the next door variety or white picket fence. It simply means anybody who's in relation to you, spouse, child, sibling, colleague, boss. At the heart of the religious law, Jesus describes in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said, here's the law, but I tell you, always going deeper, at the heart of this religious law is the neighbor, Jesus says. It's not about rules, it's about relationship. So much so that from last week's reading, he highlighted how destructive our actions can be upon our neighbor when we get angry with them or divorce them unfairly and make promises we don't keep or mean. This week, he reveals how we're to respond when our neighbor's actions are destructive or evil. The way to oppose evil, Jesus teaches, is not to fight it, not to escalate it, but to give in to it. We're to meet anger and greed and force and callousness as believers with love. That's what it means to be complete, whole, fulfilled. And it's exactly how Jesus acts and responds in the end, so that he can say from the cross, "It is fulfilled." Now, I should warn that these teachings of Jesus should not be heard as instruction for people who are in destructive relationships. This is not an encouragement to be tossed around like a rag doll by any means. It's the opposite. We're to be so grounded, so complete, that we have the strength to oppose evil with love. And intimate relationships, whether partner, spouse, child, are so very complicated, with so many mixed motivations going on, that perhaps we should take them out of the picture here when listening to this instruction. We can take Jesus' words to heart later when he says that prophets are not heard in their hometown by those who know them best. So to attempt that is futile. So one way to hear these teachings is as measurement. This is what God expects. How are you doing with it? How are you doing meeting evil with love when it comes to colleagues at work, or annoying drivers in front of you, or annoying neighbors on the corner? If you're like the disciples and the rest of us, the answer is, honestly, not very well. You see, the sinner in us, the one who wants to protect the self and to heck with the neighbor, sees in these teachings just how far short we fall from the way that our Creator intended us to live. In short, through this teaching, Jesus holds up a mirror to show us the truth about ourselves, that we need to be forgiven. That's how one part of us, the old self-centered sinner inside of us, hears the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what we should be doing, and we're not doing it very well. We need forgiveness. The other way to hear these verses is as invitation to love the neighbor. The new creation in us, the forgiven one, the one crucified and raised with Christ in the baptismal waters, just as Jack will be baptized shortly. This one who has the strength and the groundedness, the completion, hears these verses not as command, but as an invitation or an opportunity. You see, in Jesus' culture, being struck on the left cheek, you notice here that if Jesus prescribes, if you're struck on the right cheek, give the other, which means the left. And the left cheek means humiliation, because the person striking you must use the hand that is not used in public. It's only used in private for bathroom purposes, if you get my meaning. It's never used in public. And so if you're inviting such humiliation, it may give your neighbor pause to reflect. And if you're forced to give your coat, and Jesus says give your cloak as well, you're basically in Jesus' day standing there naked. Not many layering clothing going on here. Coat, cloak, that's it. Again, inviting humiliation might just give the neighbor who's forcing you a chance to wake up. See, the new creation in us sees these verses as a way to help wake up a neighbor who's doing evil to us, so that they might see things differently. Loving the neighbor. You see how these commands that sounded so foolish on the surface really are centered in care for the neighbor. How do we get to the place where we're grounded enough, have strength enough to be humiliated for the sake of the neighbor? Well, it really isn't a place at all, and it's not a state of being. We don't attain it and retain it. It's in a mysterious relationship with a son who abides with us, Emmanuel, through this word and in that meal, who comes to us and in the communion of saints. We can trust that Christ will come to us and give us enough security, enough rootedness, enough mercy and love, even to be able to turn the other cheek or pray for our enemies. How does he do it? By tending to us in the word and meal, by coming to us, by meeting us and healing us. He knows how hurt we are by our neighbor's destructive actions. So today, when you come up for communion, if you desire, I invite you consciously to bring with you the hurt that you bear from your neighbor who's done evil to you in divorce or at work, brokenness, resentment, even hatred, and then leave it there at the altar and take back to your seat with you only the forgiveness and mercy and peace that Christ gives in the bread and wine. And if you can't manage that today, many of us won't be able to, then you can simply pray that God help you to be able to even want to do that. Christ has promised to give us the Holy Spirit who will intercede for us when we don't even have the words. The only way that we'd even want to follow Jesus' difficult teachings in this Sermon on the Mount, let alone be able to do it, is by the power of the Holy Spirit, who changes us into what Jesus has already called us in our baptism. Beloved, forgiven child of God. In other words, we can take a cue from the 5th century bishop, Augustine, who led the church in Egypt, who bid the congregation to communion on Sundays by saying, "Come and receive who you are here and become what you've received." Amen.